Good things come to those who wait, or so the saying goes. They also, as my parents discovered on the 20th of January 1991 at Whipps Cross Hospital in Leytonstone, reward those who don't. It was 2:05 a.m. on a freezing cold Sunday when I made my grand entrance into the world, just over 2 hours after Mum's first breath-stealing contraction. I was also hot on the tail of my elder sister, Georgia, who had popped out 13 months ahead of me. Yes, you read that right, 13 months, which means Mum fell pregnant with me when her first baby was only 4 months old. Not intentionally, of course. Mum and my dad, Dave, a Tyler with piercing blue eyes and a wicked sense of humour, took a year to get lucky with Georgia and had even been prescribed a fertility drug called Clomid to shimmy things along. Conceiving again seemed as unlikely as winning the lottery. Officially, I was an accident, but as Mum maintains, a happy one. Faced with raising two babies under the age of two, many women would understandably curl up into a hormone-packed ball of stress. But Mum was rather excited by the idea of her two babies being only a year apart. It would be just like her relationship with her sister, my auntie Jacqueline, who is only 18 months older than her and is her best friend in the world. To everyone in Wanstead, East London, where my parents lived at the time, Mum had broke a Guinness World Record during her pregnancy with me. Everyone thought I was still pregnant with the first baby, Mum once told me. They'd say, "Haven't you had that baby yet?" It was the longest pregnancy in history. One old nursery rhyme reckons that those born on a Sunday are bonny and blithe and good and gay. In other words, pretty and happy. I'm definitely a glass half full kind of person, but I arrived with olive skin and a mass of jet black hair, which quickly prompted Dad to ask Mum if I really belonged to him. He was only joking, as Dad often does. I'd been alive for just 2 weeks when Mum realised there was something desperately wrong with me. Whenever she breastfed me, I'd latch onto the boob and then start suffocating. I couldn't inhale through my nose when my mouth was rammed against her boob, and the midwife instructed Mum to get me to the health clinic quickly for an assessment. There they gave Mum special drops to drip in my nose before every feed. But as I got older, my nose was always bunged up and I was a very poorly child, constantly battling colds and flus. One Christmas, I think I was four, the entire family descended on a huge rented house in Brighton for the holidays, and I ended up in bed with a cough, but overnight began struggling to breathe. An emergency doctor was called and he diagnosed me with pneumonia, prescribed some antibiotics and instructed my parents to keep me very warm. I remember nothing of this, but my mum tells me all I cared about was Father Christmas not coming down our chimney, in case he caught the lurgy and me ruining Christmas for kids all over the world. Child's Play. Home until I turned seven was a three-bedroom house in Wanstead, part of Essex until 1965 when Greater London was created, where a pink blossom tree grew in the front garden and next door a little boy called Max bounced on an outdoor trampoline that was so big I was sure all the kids in the neighbourhood could squeeze onto it at once. Mum once told me that Max was allowed a trampoline because he was an only child. So at night, lying on the bottom bunk in the pink painted room I shared with Georgia, I tried to imagine life as an only child. It was impossible. I was 13 months old when Mum started fostering children, and since then I've had over 200 brothers and sisters. Mum wasn't always a foster carer. She began her career in the city as a buyer for Debenhams and eventually worked for another big fashion house. But once Georgia and I came along, she needed a job she could do from home. Her eureka moment came in 1993 over lunch at Pizza Hut in Stamford Hill, when she sparked up a conversation with a lady on the next table who was looking after six kids. She turned out to be a foster carer, and Mum, who's always loved children, was inspired. Within 24 hours, Mum was in touch with Hackney Social Services, inquiring about becoming a foster carer herself. The next stage was for Mum and Dad to go through a detailed assessment. Then Mum did a 12-week fostering course, and 8 months later, they took in their first child, a 3-month-old baby girl called Nadia.